flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, be Mr. Finley, 106.7 The Fan. And join us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is our friend Barry Zaluga. Barry, you can follow him on X at Barry Zaluga, S-V-R-L-U-G-A. Barry's a columnist for The Washington Post. And Barry, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What up, B? How are you, man?
I'm good. I just saw that Jake Paul is fighting Logan Paul. You going to watch it?
I am not into that stuff. I am not into it. I wasn't into the Tyson fight. I just let that go. Maybe that's a character flaw. But
you know who's going to watch it? Jeff. Jeff, yeah, believe it's real that. Fighting, too.
I believe that.
Hey, man. So your thoughts on this season this year, man. We have covered a lot of football in this town. I don't think we ever had this much fun.
And I don't think...
I'm saying as of late, as of the last 29, 30 years, yeah.
I've been here 21 years, and it hasn't. There's not a season that's close to this fun. And that, you know, the closest was either the first Gibbs playoff year, the Todd Collins run, or the RG3 rookie year. But those had different flows to them. I mean, I remember we did a little kind of press box beat writer columnist kind of pool before the season. And picked a bunch of, like, essentially prop bets, like, you know, who would be the second leading receiver and stuff that you could kind of guess about the team. And one of them was just straight up win total. And I think it was Ben Standing from The Athletic who did it. And the choices were over 7 wins, exactly 7 wins, or under 7 wins. And I chose exactly 7 wins because I thought it was possible that with a new coach and a new quarterback that, you know, you'd see an improvement from 4-13. That was really, really a miserable 4-13 because I think they lost their last 7 and it just felt like everything needed to be a fresh start. But I think in August, saying 7 wins and like being like, okay, you feel like this is the quarterback for the future. Like that was a reasonably positive expectation. Yeah. And the positiveness just got blown out of the water because now you're done with the season that, yes, had a disappointing finish, but it was the house money season where as long as you felt like you found your quarterback and he came out of it healthy, you were going to be happy about the future. And they laid on top of that a run to the NFC Championship game. I'm not trying to say future seasons won't be fun, but they won't be exactly this kind of fun because now we do have expectations, and now the disappointments won't be like, oh, shoot, okay, Philly was better this year. Our future is brighter. The future is going to come really, really rapidly, and you're going to start to remember that it's not just guaranteed that you get to the NFC Championship game every year. Ask the Detroit Lions that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a different shape to thing, a different vibe to things going forward.
I think when people look at it, and I said earlier, Pat Mahomes has been in the league 8 years, and he's been a starter for seven. They've been in the AFC Championship game for 7 years.
I mean, if
that is outrageous.
It's insane, and it's silly. And considering that, you know, he's beating Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and these really good teams with really good quarterbacks to get there, it's not reasonable to expect. And I guess that's, you know, is Jaden going to be 7 years into his career and be seven times to the NFC Championship game? I just think the answer just logically has to be no, even though it's being done on the AFC side. So that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, there's going to be a situation where Washington is, say they're the Lions of this year, and they were kind of the best team all year, but they arrive in the playoffs and they're beat up and their defense is beat up and they turn the ball over. Like, there's going to be future playoff disappointments that will be harder to take than this one because, you know, people can't wait for training camp to start right now because there's so much anticipation about the next year.
Yeah, you know, Barry, we were talking earlier. We had phone call, had people call in and tell us what their expectations for the team would be, knowing that they would change. And as my belief has always been, when you show me what you're capable of, I start expecting it. So they showed me this. Now, my expectation is not for them to be in the NFC Championship game. My expectation is for them to be in the playoffs for sure, and I would hope that they could win the division by doing it because that gives you a better chance. But I know there are going to be some people now that if they're not, like we had one guy already say, if they're not in the Super Bowl, it's not a successful season.
You can't think that way. Well, first of all, Brian, like just practically, like, you know, we don't know, there's tons of free agents on this team and we don't know who's coming back. And obviously they'll be augmented by another draft and maybe more prominent, talented free agents that aren't here yet. So, you know, we can sit here on January 30th and guess a win total, not even knowing the team. That's a little hard to do. But one thing I would say is that you know right now on January 30th that the schedule from 2024 isn't the schedule from 2025. They had a last place schedule. This year they had Carolina and Tennessee and Cleveland, all at home. They killed those teams. Like, I'm not saying they falsely built a 12-5 record because they earned every bit of it.
Yeah.
But think of their next year's schedule. I'm looking at it right now. We don't know the dates yet, but you know you're playing at Green Bay. That's a playoff team. You're playing at Kansas City. That's a Super Bowl team. You're playing at the LA Chargers. That's a playoff team. You're playing at the Vikings. That's a playoff team. You're hosting the Lions. That was the best team in the league during the regular season. You're hosting the Broncos. That was a playoff team. You're hosting Seattle, which almost made the playoffs. Like, there's very few gimmies next year. And don't get me wrong, they should be built to be able to beat, as they say, anyone, anytime, anywhere. But just the practicality of they won a bunch of one-score games this year, and they've got a much different schedule next year, they could be better as a roster and better with talent and not go 12-5 just because of logistics, basically.
With that being said, what do you think they need to go after more? Because for me, I look at the O-line of Philly and the D-line of Philly, and I think you need to be able to combat that.
It's a great point, and I think because you know, I am debating this in my head, and I've thought about what to say with this question, what to write about. Like, the fact that I'm debating it shows that despite the unbelievable success of the season, that the team really has multiple needs and multiple needs that are very, very important. I mean, you're not wrong. You know, Jalen Carter is a force to be dealt with, and Saquon Barkley and that offensive line are a force to be dealt with. Like, this team couldn't stop the run, and at times it couldn't run the ball either. So I don't think that offensive and defensive line are crazy thoughts. My thought, though, on the defensive line is they didn't really have any crazy edge rushers that disrupted games either. I mean, I think Dante Fowler Jr. had kind of a spurt in the middle of the season where he was pretty disruptive.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a real Khalil Mack-style edge rusher is something this team needs. And then I can't get away. I mean, there's no one on that team I respect more than Terry McLaurin. But I also get the feeling that, like, what would he look like with another Terry McLaurin or a faster Terry McLaurin on the other side? And how difficult would that make Jaden Daniels to defend if he had another deep threat? Like, that is the offensive present I want to find under the tree at some point during free agency or in the draft, because he had an 1,100-yard season and 13 touchdown receptions with no real consistent contribution from a single other wideout. They did a good job by committee, and De'Ami Brown came on in the playoffs, but I think you want something more there. So I've got almost like a shopping list, which again, I think reflects on, even though this was a great, great, great season with great results, the roster needs some tending to for sure.
We're talking to Barry Zuluga from the Washington Post, columnist over there, our friend. And Barry, when you look at the overall, like when the team has this much success, they lose coaches, which seems like people now want to talk to the coaches on the staff. Kavita, we had Blau has been. Do you feel that they're constructed well enough? Because I look at all the people that they have that has call plays on offense. I think offensively they're set. Do you think that if they start getting other people, because I think Ken Norton will be interviewed by Pete Carroll to do something over at the Raiders.
Right.
You know,
right.
Are they constructed well enough as a coaching staff to continue moving forward?
I loved Dan Quinn's answer when he was asked about that at the last press conference, which is, you know, we're not just developing players here, we're developing coaches. And part of his job is to make sure that when you have attrition, that there are capable candidates right in front of you to fill in. So yeah. I, you know, one thing that happened for me over the course of the year, Brian, is I really didn't know what to expect from Dan Quinn. And, I was not, you know, I really thought they should have hired an offensive coach to pair up, with the rookie quarterback and have them be in lockstep. But now that Cliff Kingsbury is staying, I've really come to believe that Dan Quinn knows what he's doing in terms of development and growth and team building and organizational motivation. And so I'm willing to take him. Like, I think he probably knows something about coaching up coaches. So I think that they're, you know, because Kingsbury is staying, and I think that was the most important one because he wanted another year at least with him and Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pretty well equipped to handle some attrition on the staff.
And we talked about the O-line, D-line. I look at that. What is the one skill position that you think, other than receiver, because I know you touched on that a little bit, needs to be addressed?
I think quarterback, man. Like, I know some people are like running back, and I have no problem using a down-the-board draft pick for a running back that you believe in. But, and I'm not even like – out on Marshawn Lattimore. I think what Adam Peters said about, like, look, we have him healthy for a whole offseason and get him integrated into our program. Like, he's shown he can do it. I don't think he completely lost the ability to do it when he got here. But I think they need more depth at that position. I mean, if you get a situation where Mikey Sanders still can move back inside and do what he was supposed to do, cover slot guys. And he's shown he's a baller, like he can play. And if he does it, you know, at a position he's more naturally suited for, and you have somebody else who can play the outside, like that would be a great, great spot for them to end up. So I'd go, I mean, if you consider cornerback a skill position, which I do, I'd go right there.
When this offseason begins to kick off and they start making moves, do you think that they're a big player in the free agency this year? I know last year they went in late. They got a lot of one-year deals. They signed some people, and those people, it worked for them. But this year, if they're going to take a step, I think they can't be like they were this year.
Yeah, like no, year. I agree. And I think, you know, you feel good that Frankie Louvu wasn't a one-year deal. It was a three-year deal. Like a couple of the ones that were a little bigger, you've got those guys around. Instead of trying to evaluate Jeremy Chinn and you know, Bobby Wagner, I think they really would want to bring him back. But that leaves you in a kind of build mode every year. I think the answer, you know, because they're going to have north of $90 million of space is I'd expect them to be players. But I also think what last offseason showed us is like, I think you can trust Adam Peters and his staff as evaluators. Like there is not a single deal that they made that didn't work out well. If you take away the kicker that they signed, who had the legal issue and that they, you mm-hmm. know, that they let go, that was the only blip in their free agency pursuit. So you would hope that once they, you know, swing bigger, that they're applying the same sort of evaluation skills and are saying, no, T. Higgins is worth this much to be another receiver or whoever, or, you know, they want to bring in Ronnie Stanley, the tackle from Baltimore, to shore up the offensive line. Like that they are equipped to know that these people are skilled enough, talented enough, work hard enough, and, you know, kind of fit the mold that they're looking for. Because, you know, you could have thought it was mumbo jumbo at the time, but they're saying they want to find people that are commanders. Yeah. That now means something that it didn't mean last year because you know what the mold looks like.
Dude, I believe that, you know, people bring in players all the time. But do the players stick and do they work? And what you're saying is exactly what I mentioned to JP yesterday. They seem to hit when they bring somebody in. They don't miss. And if they could keep doing that, then maybe if you like, you know, I think it was one guy who the two guys that Minnesota either got or either was it Detroit where they lost somebody that made $39 million, but they end up signing $25 million, but they end up signing two guys at $29 million and both of them end up being outstanding. So if you could do something like that, then you're moving forward because – I still look at it like Mikey and running backs and receivers. The big guy is going to help all those guys produce. If you're getting pressure on the quarterback, Michael Sanderson is the guy you want because the dude's smart and he's round the receiver all the time. If you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, then you may have to you got to think about other things. But they got to get that transmission engine fixed. That's what I call offensive line, defensive line. They got to get that fixed.
And
they play great at certain points, but you got to be more consistent at those positions if you want to be where you want to go.
Well, and one difference in bringing people in this year, Brian, and you'll agree with this, is that, you know, that was a bunch of people that didn't really know each other that were kind of creating a workplace environment and a culture and how they work together. And now, and Terry McLaurin mentioned this in the week leading up to the NFC Championship game, they now have a blueprint for how they do things. And so anybody coming into that building is not going to be setting the tone because the tone is already set. And I think that's a big, big step forward. And that's, you know, when do we show up? How do we work? What do our practices look like? Like there, no one's guessing about that anymore. And the leaders in that building are going to lead any newcomers. You got to feel like – I just feel like the vibe around the franchise, like the work ethic and the structure is so much better than it had been under several different coaches over years and years and years when it just felt like haphazard and kind of thrown together. Like this is really, really – there's a foundation here, and the new pieces will be adding to that, not be expected to set some sort of new tone.
Barry, we had the first full year of Harris Group being in full control, and you've seen the other years prior to that. What was the major difference you saw, just overall, not necessarily for any one particular person, like it could be for the media, whatever, but overall, what was the one major difference you saw?
To me, Brian, it is that they hired an adult to run the football operation, and he hired other adults who were good at their jobs, and they collectively evaluated everything and put together an operation that looks like it's sustainable. I mean, when you can criticize the the Marshawn Lattimore trade, and it didn't work out for this half a season, both because of health and performance. Mm-hmm. But when Peters addressed us that day, you know, it's very, very, it's not like they spent a month being like, we're going to trade for Marshawn Lattimore. They were kicking tires and turning over stones on all sorts of players at all sorts of positions across the league. And it results in, hey, we got a veteran player at a position of need at the end, but there's so much work that goes into that that you don't see. I just feel like that's the biggest development, that you have a bunch of experienced, talented people running the football operation led by Adam Peters, that gives you the feeling that they're going to make good football choices going forward. And he's empowered by the owner to do just that.
All right, Barry, man, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. Thank you.
Thanks, D. Good luck with the solo show.
Cool. I got you. That's Barry Zaluga joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. We're going to take us a break here when we get back. That's that question. He mentioned Lattimore at the end. I want to know, what are your thoughts on a Lattimore trade? I believe that if he's 100% healthy, I will be willing to see him again. Okay? If he's not 100% healthy, I don't want to see anybody when they're not 100% healthy. But if he's healthy, I want to see him. We want to find out your thoughts as well. 1-800-636-1067. Be Mitchell Finley, 106.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7 The Fan. I'd be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We saw a lot of moves made by Adam Peters, Dan Quinn. And one of them that kind of gets people discussing things a lot was Marshawn Lattimore, who I think is a very good corner. I don't know if he was 100% healthy. And then when you are trying to come back and you're trying to be what you were when you're not completely there, you don't only play as well as you possibly can. I still believe that they can salvage this and get something out of it moving forward. But the question is to you all, what do you think? I know I could get a lot of information from Landfill at all times. I get information from Jeff. I put out the call, the phone number, 800-636-1067. I want to find out from you all, too. Do you think this is a good trade? Should they continue or should they stop? And I'm going to start off with my man, Landfill. Landfill, what are your thoughts on the Marshawn Lattimore trade? How was it for you?
You know, I was definitely more excited than I probably should have been when the trade happened. Him missing all that time with injury, and when he played, it was kind of up and down. Mm-hmm. But I feel that the secondary on this team is just in such a bad spot that you gotta keep him around going into next year. You have to.
All right, Jeffrey.
I think it's too early to say if it was a success or a fail. Because we knew he was coming off an injury. I didn't really expect much when he went down again from the hamstring, because I was like, that's a soft tissue injury. He's dealing with that. Okay, we'll probably see the best of him next season. Because when we played Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody was like, he shut that side of the field down. So, like, when we see him fully healthy, if yeah. he can play a complete year next year, like, all of that will, to me, will be able to tell if it was a success or not. But also, B, I think I'm going to do it. It's a comparison. I'm going to have to use basketball, though, to complete this. Hear me out.
All right.
You know when James Harden, he used to get to the free throw line all the time, right?
Yeah.
But then that rule came in, so now every time he get the ball, he's watched closely. I think Marshawn Lattimore has that stigma on his back. And I say that because we've seen in the last game with Philly, we've seen the incident with A.J. Brown, but only Lattimore was flagged.
Mm-hmm.
On the fourth down pass, it's a video of A.J. yanking Marshawn's face mask down.
Yeah.
Then in Philly the last time, A.J. Brown hand is in Marshawn's pads.
Uh-huh.
But it was called on the foul was called on him. The thing is, B, he's going to have to play a way tighter game in this season because I think it's a target on his back with these refs, with him against these receivers.
Well, it could be, and I think the thing about it, all these receivers claim that they're physical. You can't be physical, and then you cry every time somebody touch you. And I think what happens is their coaches probably ran and talked to him, and I believe that these coaches are going to have to say the same thing. No, you got to let my guy play if their guy's going to play. I believe Marshawn Lattimore, as Adam Peters said, needs to have a whole year here in their program with their players, and then we'll see where it goes. But I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, I don't. Because I would ask the question, who's on the team that's better than him?
No one.
No, the position he was playing, I don't think anybody out there better than him, so you got to keep moving forward. All right, let's go out to the phone lines and check out Andre and Alexander. What's up, Andre? How you doing, man?
What's up, B? It's just my second time today getting you, so I feel lucky. But I want to use you as an example to describe Lattimore, if I have your permission.
All right, cool.
If you don't play golf for a long time, will you be sharp or will you be rusty?
I'll be rusty as hell.
And there you go with Lattimore. He missed too much time. He's just rusty. People don't play ball, don't know that. He's still good. He's just rusty. He's going to have a comeback year. You watch. All the rust going to be off. That's my opinion.
All right, rustiness. Man. Appreciate it.
All right.
He's right. I always talk about when you leave something for a certain amount of time, what happens? All right, let's go to Trucker Dan. What's up, Trucker Dan? How you doing?
What it do? What it do?
Tell him, man.
Tell my boy JB get better.
And I gave him a little remedy. If he take that remedy, he's going to be all right. All right, what you got?
I'm not mad with Lattimore. I just think we gave up too much for him. I think it may be a fourth and a sixth would do, but, you know, a little too late, too little.
Fourth and a sixth is basically a three. They gave up a three.
Yeah, I thought we gave up a 3-4 and a 6.
I don't think they gave up all that.
I think they did.
Man, if they gave up three pieces for him, I don't remember that.
Ridgeway, he was our sixth. We gave him that in the third and the fourth. But look, I'm 100% on you with this one, though. That O-line, man, B-Rob is not the problem. We need to kick Coleman on the inside and find him a left tackle. Wiley is good, but I don't know. I think he's a backup. And that D-line, we need help, man. We need help in the trenches. You give us help in the trenches, we're going to do numbers. That's all I can say, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. And Trucker Dan was right. Dan was right. They gave a 3-4 and a 6. But you know what? Hey, we'll see what happens this year, and then we'll know if it's a success or not. Let's go to Gary in Woodbridge. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm disappointed in his play. However, I understand he was injured and he was coming back, and he might have come back a little too soon. I would like to see him go through training camp with the regime that's in now, and maybe he will learn that ball is life, and I think he'll do better next year.
All right, man. Cool. Good call. I'm with you. I think, you know, let's take him through this whole thing with all of these guys for a year, and let's see what happens, because – you know, he has that mindset of being this brawler on the field. And he came in here trying to be that. And sometimes when you're lacking just a little bit of your health, being a brawler becomes negative. And the referees start throwing the flags on you. If you can't move how you normally move, you grab. You know? But I still say when he and Lattimore bumped chests, he and A.J. Brown bumped chests, A.J. Brown ripped his helmet off by his face mask. and they threw a flag on him, that was a bunch of BS. Sean Hockley and his crew. I say that. Let's go to Doug in Stafford. What's up, Doug?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I think this is a good trade overall for now. I mean, obviously hard to tell after coming off of an injury, but I think people forget we made it to the NFC Championship game. Our secondary was one of our biggest weaknesses. I think he certainly had better moments, but overall, like, it was, I think he did what he needed to do to kind of get us where we got to.
Yeah, I think his way of playing, thank you for your call, his way of playing did something to the secondary down the stretch. You saw those guys playing with a lot more confidence, a lot looser, you know, and that says something to me. So if he comes back next year healthy and he plays and gets back to what he was, can you imagine the step that Samuel Steele would take and maybe some other guys would take as well? So I think it's like Jeff said, you put a pause on whether it was a success or not, you know. So but we'll get to that next year because right now I think we're still even. We're not losing. We're still even because we went farther than the people that we – where did the Saints go? They ain't going nowhere, right? They ain't going nowhere at all. Let's go to Duck in Waldorf. What's up, Duck?
What's going on, B-Mitch?
Chilling, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hey, so like I was telling Jeff, man, I think it was a decent trade. We need to give him some time. But I'm not sure how much of a team guy Marshawn Lattimore is. He don't – all of his interviews, his press conferences, he always talking about I, me. And I'm not – that's not a camaraderie that we got. When I hear all the other players speak, it's always we, the brotherhood, this, that. I never heard him say that on his Instagram. He don't got no Commanders things or none of that. That might be looking into it too much. But
you know what, Doug? I don't care about what they put on their social media. I'm not a social media guy to think that you got it, your life has to be on social media. But a lot of guys say it's how cool he is, you know. But some dudes just have that bravado and that persona. That's what they want to present, but they're somebody different.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you. Like that, the social media thing, I can care less. All right, let's close out with our guy, Rev T. What's up, Rev? How you doing, brother?
What's going on, B-Mitch?
I'm chilling, bro. You look down in the dumps?
Yeah, man, I'm fighting a little cold here and there. I think one
you
of
and JP
Bama
hung out together?
One of the Bammers in Philly probably got me sick. That's what it was. I don't know. I'll be all right, though. I'm pushing through. But I'm just saying that. That thing with Lattimore, though, if he was healthy, then, yeah, it was a good move. But he never got right. They picked him up injured, and he was trying to fight through the injury, and you can't knock a man for doing that. But at the end of the day, it didn't work out. In my opinion, I would move on. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't care what you gave up for, cut the loss and keep on moving. But other than that, though, AB, man, this was a good season, man.
Yep.
And what we won, like 12 games or something. And a lot of people, hell, they didn't even count us to win 4 or 7 games, you know?
Yep.
So at the end of the day, I just want to, man, tell all my people, man, I love y'all, man. And I'm glad to be beside y'all in this journey. I ain't no bigger. I ain't no better than y'all. We all the fans. And guess what my new slogan is, B-Mitch, going into the new season?
What's that?
We all won.
There you go.
We are one. We are one. Black, white, yellow, brown. I don't give a damn how you get down. We are one. We are one. We are one, B-Miss. That's a new slogan going out. We are one. And that's attributed to the late Frankie Beverly. You know what I'm saying? In the
Bay.
We are one.
Landfill, you got to find anyway, that for me, baby.
Hey, and then a big shout to them people, man, that be coming up to me down at that road zapping me up, man. I ain't know that many people knew me like that, but big shout out to all my people down in Duffy's and Woodbridge and Dale City. I love y'all so much. But let me go ahead, knock down a couple of these nice 1738 and try to get this cold about me. And I'll holler at y'all later.
All right, fool. Yeah, take man. Care, man.
All right, love y'all, man.
All right, okay. Brother. All right, let's take us a break here. I'm doing a JP. I'm at 1243. Ah, man, guess when I sit in this seat, I begin to act like him, huh? All right, B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back. Always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong. Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championship. Flights, hotel, and $20,000 in spending money. Just download the free Odyssey app. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk. Remember, flights, hotel, and $20,000 for you and four of your friends. Three of your friends. I don't want to get no extra person in there. That's a nice one. I wish we could win that, Landfill. What you think? All right, so after talking about that, that's a tournament. It's a basketball tournament. Basketball is on my mind today because right now, Adam Silver is talking about, let's try to make him play just 10 minutes now. Basketball has gotten to a point where I know young people hate to hear older people say that they're softer now, they're not as tough. But let's think about this. Technology was non-existent for some of the great ones back in the day. Basketball shoes were garbage. They played every damn game, sick, hurt, or what. They didn't fly around in corporate jets that were plush. They didn't complain. Today, guys are making, the top dudes making anywhere 40, 50, 60, almost $70 million a year. They don't want to play every game. Now they want them to be shorter. And Adam Silver seemed to be falling into it where the sport that's destroying it, they add more. They added 17. They're trying to add 18 game, but they claim they worry about the fans, about the players' health. That's a bunch of BS. But are you all cool with this? You want 10-minute quarters now? They want to limit 8 minutes out of the game. My question: What is it in basketball in college, high school? Is it less or more?
It's 2 20-minute halves in college.
College is 2 20-minute halves. Okay, so you're NBA and you say you're getting paid. So shouldn't it be a little longer? What is high school?
I think 10.
So they want to do exactly what the high school students are doing.
Yeah, I think the idea is overseas they play 10, so they want to make it.
So in other words, now you're following what overseas does.
I think with all sports, they're trying to reduce the longevity of the game. Like their mind spans, they can only pay attention for so long. Just like with the baseball clock thing, I think they're just trying to speed up the game.
No, baseball should have been sped up. Baseball is the one sleeping pill of all sports. Not much action, and you're standing around, you're going to fall asleep. Basketball has enough excitement to where you can stay attentive for a whole game.
I think it depends on what you count as excitement.
No. See, this is the problem with basketball. They always have had something to fall on. Well, they didn't play well during the middle of the season. They played better when the playoffs came around. You know, then they don't play the All-Star game at all. Now they just shoot up threes all damn day, no defense. So now let's change it. I guarantee if they go to 10, somebody going to try to get to 8. Life is about this. When you are given multiple choices, we have learned that this generation chooses the easiest one. Don't give them a choice. This is what the sport is. You play or you don't play. Where the hell are they going to go? Play somewhere else? You know, listen, man, 12 minutes in basketball, it's cool. I think it's cool. Football, listen, I hear people complain about football today, and I'm going to be honest. They have everything better than what we had. And I didn't worry about no – listen, I wanted to play. I wanted to compete. So why is it that the more technology we get – we claim the athletes are in better shape. They're better athletic. They're more talented. But all they do is complain about every damn thing. I'm not cool with it. No. Play. If they change it to 10 minutes, they're going to try to take some money from them. I guarantee if they say we're going to lower your salary, they'll say, oh, no. We'll play the 10 minutes. We'll play the 12 minutes now. I don't think it's listen, man, overseas, when did we start copying over what they're doing? The NBA is the end-all, be-all. Why don't you make them bastards follow what you're doing instead of you trying to follow what they're doing? It makes no sense. But, hey, it is what it is.